Hi, this is Dan Gilbazan, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Welcome to The Pull Bag. Join us as we dig out our latest comics and discuss them with a rotating panel of the GCRN crew. So sit back and enjoy this week's Pull Bag.
Hey, everybody, this is Dan Gilbazan, voice of G1 Bumblebee. And you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello and welcome to The Pullbag. This is episode 148 of The Pullbag. It kicks off Autobotly August. It has been 4 months, ladies and gentlemen, since myself and Ryan the Angel Merkley talked about Transformers comics, More Than Meets the Eye, and Robots in Disguise, book formerly known as Robots in Disguise, whatever you want to call it. We are back to talk more Transformers this month here in August on The Pullbag and All Things Transformers. Tonight we've got Titans Return, so we're going to wrap up More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise. After that, we're going to be doing, and you don't know this yet because I haven't told you, we're going to be doing the Primacy Trilogy or the Autocracy Trilogy. So that's going to happen this month. Lady Wreck is going to join us for Sins of the Wreckers. You and I will do Angry Birds Transformers, and then somebody will do the Dinobot Trilogy, Punishment, Redemption, and Salvation. So there's that. So yay, that's what's happening here in August.
That trilogy good. Sins of the Wreckers ended up really good.
I have not read it yet.
It did not start out well. like issue to issue, I didn't find it read very well. Mm-hmm. And as for the C trilogy, well, we'll get into that momentarily.
All right. So before we get started here on Titans Return, I have a rant, and the rant is to whoever the IDW trade paperback editor is, whoever assembles the comics in trade paperback form, whether it be digital or physical media, please take out the multiple versions of Revolution previews. Oh my God.
Yeah, they're not in the physical trade, so.
They are in the digital, and it pisses me off.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think I got these digitally on an issue-by-issue basis, but I mean, I generally don't go back and reread the digital ones, so then I just use the physical copies for these shows, and anytime I reread it, because I can sit in the bathroom where I do my only good thinking. I certainly don't do any good thinking on these podcasts.
I don't know. That's sounds like a personal problem to me. Oh, boy. So, Titans Return. This is the one-shot plus 56 and 57 of each of the Transformers and More Than Meets the Eye.
The end of both series, too, because the Transformers becomes Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
And the More Than Meets the Eye becomes Lost Light. And then we get a third, which is Till All Are One, which was really good and then got the axe after 12 issues.
Yeah.
Which really sucks, but I mean, part of that is the relaunch of these titles. So one of the comic things that's happened with IDW is they pulled the Marvel and DC bit of let's relaunch and start over at one. Well, that didn't work well for IDW.
No.
Lost Light and becoming Optimus Prime lost a significant chunk of their readership. And then just Till All Are One was, it did fairly well as Windblade, but then the relaunch of it as an ongoing didn't fare too well either. Mm. Revolution did not pan out nearly as well as they wanted, resulting in the cancellation of what got canned?
ROM. Everything. ROM,
yeah,
ROM, Mask.
Micronauts, Mask.
Yep.
You name it, it got shit canned. And then, yeah, Gem, which sold well, is also being relaunched. And then there was a report that IDW went $1.2 million in the hole.
Ooh!
Which a lot of that has to be, well, not has to be, a lot of that is paying for licensing fees and then the books not panning out. combined with, yeah, they lost a bunch of readership in the Transformers books.
Yeah.
They'll be fine, but they're going to have to concentrate on stuff that's selling or critically acclaimed.
Mm.
And, yeah, I mean, Revolution was just a disaster for this company. It was not a good idea, just to be blunt. Oh, I should mention, Revolution, for anyone who doesn't know, they decided to do a Hasbro shared universe. And so that means they merged ROM, Micronauts, G.I. Joe, Mask, and Transformers all into the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
The merger that nobody asked for. Because, listen, I grew up with Mask. It was great for its time. But nobody was clamoring for a Mask comic. The original Mask comic got shit-canned after 9 issues, by the way. And that was at the height of its property, or of its popularity.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and by the way, I read those. They were way more adults than the cartoon show, and, like, characters died and stuff like that. It was very different. But anyway.
I have not read the Mask series yet. I wanted to, and I will eventually, but I have not read the Mask IDW series yet.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I've read the first issue of it, and then I read the Revolution tie-ins for it. they are hilariously bad.
So it's about on par with the TV show.
Yeah, I mean, they go into bits like explaining why, you know, Miles Mannheim is called Miles Mayhem, and just. The names are hilarious. The dialogue is hilarious. It was a good property in the 80s for a kid's series. It's not something that's translated well into adulthood.
Mm.
And I don't, you know, all due respect to the writers, because I'm not trying to pile on them, but I don't think anybody could have done a really good job with this. This is just not a series. You know, nobody's clamoring for a rated R Mask series, or...
Yeah, no.
It was an odd choice. And then Micronauts and ROM, I barely even remember, and I lived through the 80s. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, like, why... Whoever chose these, it's very odd. I mean, the series from the 80s that people remember, there's basically three. You know, there's the one we're talking about. G.I. Joe, everybody remembers. Now, G.I. Joe under IDW has had a huge problem sustaining a reader base. I mean, it's been canceled numerous times, so I don't know that a comic is viable for it. And then the other one people remember, well, two more. There's Thundercats and He-Man, but they don't have the licenses to those.
Yeah, so. That's DC. And, you know, and let's face it, Jim is another one as well. I mean,
yeah. Sorry, I should have thrown.
You know, although
I'm not sure the recent movie points to there being like a huge fan base, but there's obviously enough for the comics because the comics have done. They've been IDW's highest seller aside from Ninja Turtles.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the Turtles has done well because Ninja Turtles are doing pretty well on TV, even though it's not a tie-in. And then B, the series has just been really good and consistent, and I don't know, hasn't renamed itself 12 times and keeps starting over at one.
See, that's the thing with the Turtles. My buddy Joe Reed and I actually review them here inside the Pullbag. We've been reviewing it for years now. That's the thing with the Turtles. Series. They don't, you're right, they're not going to renumber. I've talked to Bobby Kurnow several different times. And he has said, and I've talked to Tom Waltz, the writer, they both have said the ideal goal is to get to 100. And I think they're already up to 72 or 73 or whatever it is now. The thing with the Turtles is it's a whole universe that's inside of itself. And if they want to do other stories outside of the ongoing, they set up miniseries like the Casey and April miniseries or the Krang Outram Empire miniseries or the Dimension X miniseries, the 5-week event that's going to be happening here soon. And then they set up a second ongoing called Turtles Universe where they can tell whatever kind of stories they want. But the main ongoing, TMNT, that has been going since 2012, has a continuous line that you just don't want to mess with.
Yeah, and so getting into Titans Return,
Yes, Titans Return.
It's another attempt to shoehorn in something into the IDW verse. Mm-hmm. And this time, More Than Meets the Eye sort of takes part, but does it in a way that doesn't sort of interrupt all their storylines and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The other series are not so lucky.
No.
The story for Titans Return is Sentinel Prime has returned. This ties into Autocracy, which I'll get to in a second.
Okay.
But Sentinel Prime is back. It turns out he was what's called a Titan Master, which is basically a headmaster, but can control the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, oh, that's what Blackrock was the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he goes and kidnaps Blackrock, and they create an army of undead Titans, the ones that were on Luna 2, which Fort Max and co. were left on back in More Than Meets the Eye, and sends them to Cybertron to take it over. I mean, I basically just summed up the whole series. Great.
Yeah.
But I have a number of problems with it. One is the tie-in to Autocracy, which makes no sense, because Autocracy... Monstrosity.
Autocracy, Monstrosity. Yeah, there you go.
Those work okay if you consider them three, like, alternate universe, kind of fun, mm-hmm. G1 cartoon-esque books.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to put them in the IDW continuity, they don't work at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit in with continuity. Characters meet each other way before they were supposed to in the IDW verse. I mean, it was never intended to be part of the universe.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they decided to try to shoehorn it in, which I think is a giant mistake, because the characterization ends up being way off, especially for Prime and Megatron.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that well. And to be honest, as an IDW story, they're not good.
Yeah.
As standalone, like, fun stories, they're not bad. You could do worse. But yeah, putting them in continuity is a huge mistake. And it just... this series just kind of fell flat. Sentinel isn't very interesting, and we don't spend enough time with him for him to be all that interesting.
I think the idea of Sentinel for me, since I've only been reading IDW since Death of Optimus, well, since Death of Optimus, I didn't read the Mike Costa run, so I think the idea of Sentinel in this is interesting, that the body of Sentinel, the personality of Sentinel is a shell. At least it's not the Tick. I mean, I like Sentinel in animated, but, you know, I think here they did a little bit better of a job. They basically did a Minimus Ambus thing with him here.
A little bit. The headmaster.
Yeah.
The Japanese headmasters, where the robots were the heads and the bottom part was just a shell. And that's probably where this comes from.
Yep.
I
love how the news people are like, the Autobot Securities Services. And I'm like, really? Seriously? You're going to name it the Autobot Security Services? You're going to name a Transformers thing ass, really? I mean, that's kind of like All-Star Superman.
Well, the crossovers have all been ass, so why not? To actually talk about the book now, I guess. First of all, it should be noted that Livio, last name unpronounceable.
Remondelli.
Yes. Still too hard. I'm easily confused. What can I say? Does the interiors for the bulk of the series.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm occasionally critical of his action scenes and that kind of thing. He did a perfect job on these. I had no trouble following what was going on at any point with his artwork. And if anything, I like his interiors more than the More Than Meets the Eye interiors,
mm-hmm.
which comprise the last two books in this trade.
Yeah. I think the thing with Livio's interiors is his style. It's a polished G1 style. And by that, I mean he's not trying to remind us of 1984 or any of the stuff that was in the Sunbow cartoons, but that's where he's getting his inspiration from. Like, if you look at Optimus, you know, in several of these panels, yes, it's IDW Optimus. Yes, it's not specifically Sunbow G1 cartoon Optimus, but the flash and the bang and the way the colors are done and the way Livio draws them, it just looks so cool. It looks like something that popped out of the 80s cartoon, but it's a little bit more defined than what the cartoon was.
Yeah, and I think his humans in this actually work pretty well as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the same problem I had with a lot of not R.I.D., and that is the human characters are just not all that interesting, and
yeah.
Blackrock's whining was boring to me and annoying to me in the previous books. Now, yeah. with him as Sovereign, I could care even less. Also, we get a few retellings of sequences that were in the Revolution books, or at the end of the last of the Transformers series.
Yeah.
And to me, those are kind of wasted pages. And, you know, I hate comparing the two writers. I really dislike doing this, but they're both in the same book, so I pretty much have to. Compare that to how Roberts uses the first few pages of each of his books,
mm-hmm.
where it's sort of a rehash. It's Red yeah. Alert kind of remembering past events, but it's extremely important to the plot because they're not, the past events aren't exactly as they were in those books. And yeah. there's a reason for that that's actually part of the storyline. The other thing I like about this is the storyline in the More Than Meets the Eye, which is the last two books, mm-hmm. Consists of Prowl arriving on Luna 2, and he has an idea of what Sentinel Prime's up to. And so he gets help from Fortress Maximus and Red Alert and Cerebros. And it all ties into more stuff we've seen in More Than Meets the Eye. Yep. So, for example, one of my favorite parts of this book, I have two favorite parts of this entire trade, and they're both in the More Than Meets the Eye books. One is, as soon as Prowl comes through the Space Bridge, Fort Max kicks him while still in car form. Because, of course, Max is still pissed off about Garrus 9, for yep. obvious reasons. Yep. So I like, again, like, they don't forget about that storyline just to do this crossover. I like that there's resolution.
Yeah.
They talk about, you know, the loss of the Lost Light crew, et cetera, et cetera. Like, this all ties in.
Yep.
And I liked that. The other moment, by the way, is Fort Max tries to flip the switch on the Titan and can't do it. And Prowl, despite being much physically weaker, is able to easily, because of course it's just like a table. And so they get to reuse that panel of Prowl flipping a table, which is wonderful. I love every time they do that. So
yeah, that is funny.
That was funny. But anyway, yeah, and they, you know, use the Titans, one of which suspiciously, the one they use suspiciously looks exactly like Fort Max the toy, mm-hmm. To try to stop the Titans from going through the space bridge and attacking Cybertron directly.
Yeah. I don't think that's suspicious at all as
no,
far
I
as
don't.
It looking. I mean, it's,
I was joking.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with this Hasbro shared universe stuff, is that I think whoever's in charge at Hasbro wants to be able to bring those franchises back. Like, Let's face it. What is G.I. You said it yourself a few moments ago. G.I. Joe as a comic is almost languishing.
Which is odd because it's actually been well written.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to state anything about the quality of it because by all accounts it's been quite good. It hasn't caught on with readers.
And I think the reason is when was the last movie? When was the last cartoon series? The last cartoon series was at least 3 or 4 years ago. I just don't think, I just don't think G.I. Joe is a franchise right now that Hasbro is marketing towards kids. They're trying to market it towards collectors. I haven't heard of any G.I. Joe merchandise that is not collector-based, that is not something that, you know, we didn't get 30 years ago or something like that or whatever.
And Transformers has become this kind of weird merger of the two, because a lot of Titans Return and Combiner Wars was pretty clearly based on stuff for the fans.
Yeah.
Like the Gestalts coming back, Fort Max coming back. You know, that's not really stuff strictly for the kids. But, yeah, it's interesting that they've managed to sort of keep a franchise going and readership sort of going, you know, despite it bottoming out because of the renumbering.
Yeah. So in Transformers 56, you know, we get to a point where we meet the new boss of the EDC, General Joe Colton. Okay, so Marissa's out of a job.
Oh. Yeah. Don't get me started on the humans in these books. It's so frustrating. I mean, it's just frustrating to me, because how many times have we seen the humans don't see a difference between the Transformers, and the humans think they're all bad, and blah, blah, blah. This has been done before to death. It also makes all of the human characters just look like complete idiots. I mean, the fact they have no concept that, you know, it was the Decepticons, who, by the way, you know, they signed the treaty with way back in R.I.D.
Issue 28, yeah.
Yeah, they don't recognize that, like, oh yeah, it was the Decepticons that, you know, eliminated a significant portion of Earth's population and did all this stuff. And they're like, no, Autobots are just as guilty, blah, blah, blah. Like, I have a hard time caring about them if they're all going to be that dumb.
Yeah, I don't care about any of the humans in this book.
That's a problem. I mean, at least the focus isn't on them here.
Yeah.
I care about Marissa because she's constantly and consistently been depicted as the only character that seems to have a clue, but
yeah.
She's the only one.
Yeah. I mean, I care about Marissa to a certain extent, but like, her little sidekick there, whatever her name is, I don't care about her. I only like this because they're doing the whole Revolution shared universe thing. I like that they put General Joe, you know, in charge of the EDC, that we, you know, get to see a member or slash former member of the Joe team, or the guy that it was named after kind of thing, you know, in with the Transformers, you know, as far as fighting against them, but overall, like, I mean, Spike, whatever.
Yeah, Spike was ruined in the Costa run, and there's no redemption for him. I mean, he's just a garbage character thanks to that. And I don't know. I mean, they don't have a choice. I mean, they may as well use him, but
yeah.
I just don't think it's going to improve with him.
No. So we get into issue 57. I love 57's main cover, Optimus and Soundwave. I think that is so cool.
Yeah, the side-by-side of the faces. The split. Which is really good, because, I mean, they're alike, but still significantly different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... Yeah.
It took me a half a second until I saw the eject button on Soundwave. I'm like, who the hell is that? Who the hell is that? I'm like, oh, it's Soundwave. I don't know why it took me a half a second. He's one of my favorite G1 characters, but whatever. So in 57, we've got Optimus. Again, the opening couple of pages here, the very first page after the roll call, I love Livio's art with Optimus here, with him laying on the ground and then, you know, starting to get up. I think the backgrounds are done well on that. I think Optimus looks great. He looks like he's about ready to turn gray, but he doesn't. He gets up off the table. Alpha Trion looks he looks like he's a mess.
Yeah, no, no. Like I said, the artwork works really well for me overall in these. And a lot of the battle sequences in the books are fairly well done. Like the stuff with RC,
yep,
works really well. And then, yeah, the later stuff in the issue you're talking about with, I mean, Soundwave gets a blade through his midsection.
Yep.
We bafflingly finally get an explanation of what happened to Blitzwing, etc., etc., which, why the hell is it in this book and not... Why didn't they do any of this before Revolution? It didn't even make sense. Whatever. Don't care. So because of that, not much happens. So, I mean, they kidnap... Sentinel kidnaps Prime and Soundwave and runs off with Sovereign, which is actually Blackrock. That's Sovereign is his Transformer name.
Yeah.
And runs off with him, who's a Titan Master. And, yeah, I mean, that's how the RID stuff ends. So basically what happened was Sentinel appeared, roughed up some people to go get some things, including some stuff from Alpha Trion, and then to go get Blackrock, and then he just, lack of a better term, fucks off and goes to Luna 2. I mean, not much happened, considering that was, you know, two full books. We had a lot of stuff that ties more into Revolution than it tied into this book, and I think that's a... It does the writer and the writing a disservice to try to tie stuff together that really doesn't belong.
It's like I said at the end, when we did the Volume 10 episode a couple months ago, when we talked about RID Volume 10 and More Than Meets the Eye Volume 10. I thought Volume 10 was the end of, not RID, whatever you want to call it, the Transformers book, the Barber book.
Yes.
I thought that was going to be the end with issues 56 and 57 in it, because I knew from, I'm on IDW's server, I'm on their media list, whatever, I knew there were two more issues, and then, we're going to have it all tie into Titans Return and Revolution, and it just doesn't feel, it feels like 56 and 57 go nowhere. I mean, we get some great characterization between Optimus and Soundwave and seeing the two of them work together.
Yeah, just at the end of 57, really.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the bulk of it.
Yeah, I mean, we see that, and I like that. The fact that Blackrock can transform between robot and human?
That's very odd and random.
I mean, that's taking Headmasters to a whole new level, honestly. I mean...
Another disappointing aspect is, then you read the last two issues, and they actually feel like a continuation of Lost Light. And part of that's the characters.
Yeah.
Because I had long wondered what happened with Max and Red Alert and everybody. It was nice to see them again. It was nice to see a resolution of Fort Max and his problems with Prowl, who arrives on planet to warn them that Sentinel's there, and we discover Sentinel's already arrived. And Red Alert is a sleeper agent for Sentinel Prime, and that's the reason for all of his paranoia and his issues that happened in More Than Meets the Eye, and we saw in past flashbacks in other books as well.
Mm-hmm. The ending here to Rid or Not Rid or whatever you want to call it, it's lackluster at best, like you said. Getting into More Than Meets the Eye, James is on writing as always. We've got Priscilla Tremontano on the art for 56, along with Joanna LaFuente on colors, Tom B. Long on letters, with edits done by John Barber. Obviously, IDW's publisher is Ted Adams. So, yeah, what happened to Rodimus and Company?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that was what Lost Light's going to be.
Yeah.
At this point, I was fine with that, because two issues is not enough to sum up everything that occurred in that book. I think it was smart to let the denouement for More Than Meets the Eye be some of the characters we've left behind.
Yeah.
And to give them some closure.
Yeah, I just felt kind of, no pun intended, I just kind of felt lost and I couldn't find the light with these two issues. I get it that James is giving us answers for the last 5 years or whatever from the, you know, because I read his letter at the back of the book about, you know, we've finally given you closure, you can stop screaming at me now, and this, that, and the other thing. And I thought the letter he wrote was great, but reading
it was
these
also
two
being sarcastic too,
well,
yeah,
obviously
it was meant to close off some of the storylines, which it does. I mean,
it does, ASA, yes.
And you know, Max mentions to Prowl that, you know, the reason he doesn't just, you know, outright kill him is because of Rung's work with him. And
is Rung the only character from Lost Light that shows up in this, in these two issues?
Rung is sort of a half flashback, half new dialogue.
Okay.
And I mean, to be fair, so is the scene with Rewind, which was a really nice. So Rewind was the reason he's on the outside of the ship with Swerve.
Oh, Swerve, yeah.
Yeah, many issues ago. We find out why, and we find, you know, we get to see Red Alert finding his illegal videos of Transformers dying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, like, I like that that kind of, another portion of this ties into something that happened that we never saw in the series.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like that we get all the tie, you know, all the loose ends tied up. I think that's great. But you know what's going to happen. He's just going to create more loose ends in Lost Light.
Yeah.
He's going to give us stuff in Lost Light that he won't.
But that's what you do with an ongoing.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't end the story for Rodimus and Co. I like what he does, which he essentially ends the, essentially he ends people's or character storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And the storyline for Skids, for example, he discovered his past and everything else. That was the end of him, and literally the end of him, because, I mean, he died.
He died, yeah.
But that's the whole, you know, that's the point of him, essentially, that, yeah, he, you know, he ends the storylines, and then, yeah, in a lot of cases, that's the end of the character. And I'm fine with that. That's why I wonder about some of the other characters in Lost Light now, because he's ended a lot of their character arcs.
Hmm.
You know, Brainstorm, I like him, but I mean, Brainstorm could, in theory, die at any point, and his sort of character arc is done.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in this we get the closure on Red Alert and Fort Max's character arcs. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe they do something new with them later on, or he opens up more questions and that kind of thing, but
yep. I love the art in this. I think the art in this is really good. It's not it's good for more than meets the eye, for, you know, the art that we've had with Alex and everything else, but if I'm comparing the four issues in this comic between the Not Writ and the More Than Meets the Eye, I prefer Livio over Priscilla on art, but they're two very different stories and two very different things, so I'm okay with it. I don't dislike Priscilla's art. I think, you know, looking at the way she does Rung, I think Rung looks great here. He's hilarious.
Yeah, they do some of the characters better than others. Fort Max, for example, looks a lot less detailed than under Milne.
Mm.
But, I mean, everybody's got different designs to them or versions of those designs. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of these, but also, I mean, she essentially had to do, it seems like, fill in kind of late. So
yeah.
It's not easy, too, when you're following up somebody who essentially created a lot of the designs for the characters in Alex Milne, so.
Yeah, that's very true.
I think it's fine, and I feel, you know, I feel really bad for, and now I can't remember his name, crap, the artist on Lost Light, because, I mean, he's taken a ton of undue.
Oh, Jack, what's his name?
Thank you, Jack Lawrence.
Jack Lawrence, yes.
Who I think has done a good job, and he's improved as he's gone on. Because, I mean, you know, you compare some of Milne's early stuff to his later stuff, and it took him some time.
Right.
But Lawrence started off on this, and immediately everybody jumped on the poor guy.
Well, you know why that was, right?
Yeah, behind the scenes, the replacement was not well done. Unfortunately, man, that happens a lot in comic books where people aren't told they're not on a book.
Yeah, I think, you know, for readers, for people that may not be in the know like we are at times, for someone just who is a fan of James Roberts and Alex Milne and picking up More Than Meets the Eye at their shop and, you know, getting, oh, it's getting a relaunch, so that means everybody's going to the relaunch book. Okay, cool. And then they pick up Lost Light number one. They see that awesome cover of Shattered Glass Rodimus. I'm sorry, real Rodimus in Shattered Glass colors. And then they see, oh, Jack Lawrence is the where's Alex? And that was my first reaction when I read this list. I'm like, what happened to Alex? yeah, I don't know. Titans Return, this trade just feels like The one shot itself feels like it's an all right story. The Rid stuff feels like it kind of wrapped up, but still left things unanswered. And More Than Meets the Eye, it didn't leave anything unanswered. It finished up what, you know, the stories that James wanted to tell. I think my issue with it is that I thought Rodimus and company were going to be in here somewhere. But they're not. So, outside of Rung, and Rewind. But those, like you said, are flashbacks. I honestly think the Volume 10s are better endings for these series.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I'm okay with, I feel like Roberts tied it in better to his book than Barber was able to. Barber also had more he had to do with these, though.
Yeah.
So it's an unfair comparison. No offense to Roberts. But,
well, I mean, John, and, you know, like you said, John always has to, because the Transformers is the everything book. That's where they put all the events and everything else. And I think that saddles John so badly. I think it really does. I would love to see them honestly give him a separate series that he can do his own thing and have somebody else write the main Transformers ongoing for the Transformers series, because
yeah, I've said this before. I mean, Barber is a fantastic writer, and I absolutely love his work on other books. And yeah, I almost feel like it would be kind of nice if he could... Well, actually, he does get to write Transformers stuff unencumbered by a lot of this with the Dinobot trilogy, which is, I would say, his best work and some of the best IDW... Actually, no, some of the best Transformers comic work, period. I would put it right up there with some of Roberts's best. So, I mean, yeah, he's a fantastic writer, but man, trying to work in, you know, hundreds of issues now of continuity between, you know, Furman's original run, then into, you know, the Shane McCarthy, then Mike Costa, and then, yeah, 50-some-odd issues of...
Of his
More
own
than meets
work,
the eye and RID, which is his own. And now, trying to jam the C, whatever you want to call them, trilogy into everything. I mean, oof.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah,
I'm amazed. Like... That he one thing he doesn't get nearly enough credit for, by the way, is how few screw ups. There are for continuity and everything else. He amazes me how much, like, I could not keep this straight.
That's why they call him Captain Continuity.
Yeah, he's so good at that. But yeah, I really like when he's able to kind of cut loose and just do whatever he wants, though. And yeah, I kind of miss... I'm sure he misses that. And Roberts has been lucky in that they've kind of let the events leave him alone. So, yeah, it just...
I think because More Than Meets the Eye, Lost Light, whatever you want to call it, I think it's because the fact that it's... I mean, both books started off as very strong stories 5 years ago. I mean, you know, you had the political stuff on Cybertron with Bumblebee and Starscream and Metalhawk and all that, and you had Rodimus and company going off to find the Knights of Cybertron, going on a quest and all that. I think... That's the reason why they necessarily leave Roberts alone, is because half of the time his book is out in space. It's not confined to having to be on Cybertron or Earth or Kaminus
whatever. Well, even RID, I think, fared better because it didn't feel the need to tie in everything from previous runs. RID. It was only when it got relaunched into Season 2 and they returned to Earth that we got all this...
The tie-ins, yeah.
Yeah, we got all the stuff like, okay, we got to tie in, you know, Spike's involvement. Okay, we got to tie in, like... And, yeah, it was just all this stuff that all of a sudden they decided... It was decided had to be brought back into it, which, ugh. It just... It hasn't done the series any favors.
Nope. Not at all. On a whole, 0 to 5 scale, what would you give Titans Return?
Yeah, see, there's the problem. I mean...
There's the rub.
Well, it's not a coincidence that, like, I've intentionally not talked about the book nearly as much as I do
the
normally
others.
When we do these shows. Because I wasn't a huge fan of it. And, I mean, as a... I feel like you almost need to separate it, but I mean, as a trade, probably gets around a 2 out of 5.
I'm right there with you. As a trade paperback, Titans Return with the one shot with Transformers 5657, More Than Meets the Eye 5657, it gets about 2, 2.5, somewhere around there. For me, not necessarily more for you, but the digital stuff. The digital editors for IDW could have figured out a way to only have that Revolution thing in there once. Because it's not multiple previews of the Revolution thing. It's the same damn preview of the Revolution prelude. Because at the end of every part of that that they put in there, it's Miles Mayhem. So I know it's the same damn preview. Because I have the Revolution preview separately on Comixology. I've liked the Transformers events to a certain extent. I liked Dark Cybertron on the second reading of Combiner Wars. I liked it slightly, maybe a half of an edge more than Dark Cybertron, a little bit. It's not as good as Dark Cybertron was, but Dark Cybertron for me, having 6 artists on one book is a little much. even if all six people are doing different time periods, it's still jarring to have six different artists in one book. I'm not even sure if I'm going to read or cover Revolution on the show. I'm just not... I was excited for Mask at first, but I'm just not now. I
well,
just have...
Asked, which didn't help any.
Well, I mean... yeah, if I was going to rate Transformers 5657 on just an individual scale rating for each issue, they'd probably be a 3.5 each. More than meets the eye, maybe a 4 each, but overall, in the trade by itself, on a whole, it's a 2, 2.5 at best. That sucks.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, the events, it's been, as the series goes on, unsurprisingly, the mm-hmm. events have more things they have to work into them and more continuity. So
yeah.
It's not surprising that they're getting weaker as time goes on. So, you know, in theory, if they do another one in a year or so from now, which is a distinct possibility.
Well, you know, not, January, February, and March of next year are not far away. Yeah, it's going to get worse, most likely, which really sucks.
Yeah, assuming they continue it. But, I mean, at the rate they're going with readership dropping, I would hope they realize that this is a mistake, that they should seriously consider getting back to that earlier sort of season one stuff and maybe just be less burdened with continuity. The best way to do that, by the way, is to get the hell off Earth.
Yeah.
Because it's been kind of bogged down the second they went back there. And again, we've seen this 100 times before. I mean, they're on Earth in every continuity.
Yeah, they are.
I don't care anymore. You know, one of the things that drew me to the IDW comics, especially after the death of Optimus Prime / Last Stand of the Wreckers sort of jump on point is the fact that they were at peace at that point, and it was something we hadn't really seen before. And I just remember how disappointed I was when season 2 of RID, they immediately went back to Earth, which is exactly what we've seen a number of times before.
Oh, absolutely. I thought that the whole Windblade thing with her coming in, I thought that was nice. I liked those series.
Yeah, which is why I really like the Till All Are One book.
Yeah.
And I would argue it might be the best of the three since the relaunch, but of course it got the axe. So
it got the axe. I don't know. It just... And I'm glad I went back and read this stuff in trade. You know, when we did Autobotly April 4 months ago, I said then, and I'll say it now, I had to step away from Trent. Like, it was somewhere around the beginning of season 2 for both books, for More Than Meets the Eye and Rid. I tried, by issue 30 of both books, I was just like, I have zero interest. And going back and having us do those again and read them in trade and all that, I think it was better for me then. But I cannot read Transformers comics single issue anymore. I just can't.
I read Lost Light single issue. But yeah, More Than Meets the Eye in particular, I've always felt reads a lot better in trade.
In trade, yeah.
And to be fair, it's not the only series. Like, Jason Aaron, as much as I love his writing, almost all of it reads much better in trade. Another guy I absolutely love, Greg Rucka, his work always reads better in trade, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of writers like that now, especially long-form ones.
Yep, absolutely. All right, folks, coming up next week, we've got, we're going to go back to the future, I guess, and we're going to talk about Flint Dilly and is it Chris Metzer?
Yeah.
Meltzer?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris.
One of those. Whoops.
Flint Dilly's Autocracy Trilogy, episode 149, as I said at the beginning of this show, is going to be Autocracy. Then we'll do Monstrosity, and then 150 will be Primacy. So we're going to be talking about completely different Transformers stories, and we'll see how that rolls around. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat on Twitter. Yay.
There you go. Yay, you remembered. Make your greatest game into comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching GeekCast Radio Network. Send us an email feedback at geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.